Anywhere I go, even a gym, people are like, no one ever talks to me at a gym. People are addicted to telling my form is bad at the gym every time I go.
You're getting people to come over and to be like, yeah. I have to intervene.
Yeah, they're like, I have
this to. This person will hurt themselves.
They're
going to
damage their bodies. They're going to end up in two boots. And I talk to my friends about this never happens to them. I'm like, I get so much male attention. It's just constructive. Wait, one.
Hey, Nico.
Hey, Con.
I love you.
I love you.
No homo.
A little bit of homo for me.
Just a little?
Just a smidge. From two guys who were never part of the boys club, we want to welcome you to ours.
Welcome to Boys Club.
This is our podcast.
About boys.
And about other things.
Like their clubs.
And the things we were a part of.
Hockey.
And we're not a part of.
Bagels.
Wait, did you say we were a part of hockey?
No, I wasn't.
Me neither. Welcome to the club, boys.
Grab a bagel.
Connor's like, what do boys eat?
My feelings.
Why are you angry already?
I'm not mad.
You're mad.
Sorry. Get mad.
Welcome back to Boys Club.
Okay, hi, how are you? It's great to see you.
I'm good.
You look stunning. I love when you wear your uniform.
Well, I do have to go to work after this, so I'm...
Why is it a polo?
You know, I'm trying to look fresh, trying to look professional.
Oh, you get to choose which one you wear?
Well, we have the polo, and then we have, like, a regular t-shirt, so...
I can technically wear anything to work, but we're supposed to dress, quote-unquote, aspirationally, which I think is funny because that really kind of, I think, illuminates maybe an issue in the world.
Well, I also feel like your clientele, no shade to you or the other instructors, but my general feeling is that the clientele at these places has more money than the instructors.
Wait, I need to, like, go off right now. One time it was a woman. One time this woman said, like, I got something done to my face that was, like, not a big deal. It was Botox. And then and then she was like, oh my God, you can afford that? And it's like, okay,
what? Great.
First off, you have no idea what I'm paid. Second off, you have no idea what I'm investing in. Third off, you
Peloton.
Have no idea. Yeah, Peloton. Well, yeah, you're right. Well, I didn't train that well. Third off, you have no idea who my mom is. And lastly, you have no idea what calls I'm taking.
True.
So
yeah.
I didn't appreciate that.
That's a little crazy to say you can afford that.
No. Do you know how I have like an insane judge of character? Like, I think that I can tell if a pretty detailed depths of a person's soul pretty quickly.
Wow.
This person's a little shaky.
Sure. I mean, I'm gathering that from asking, you can afford that?
Yeah, like, I can find kind of like a good person fast. fast.
Okay.
I found you.
And I found you.
Of everyone in Eastville Comedy Club, of all those stable, talented people, I said, you.
In your pink hat. Whatever happened to that hat?
I didn't find it. Well, you know what? I sweated in it too much. It started to get stained.
You sweat tanner off on it?
It did look tan. And I was like, is that how sweat dries? Do you think this could be sweat? Maybe this is sweat.
Maybe that is tanner.
I just have like little brown things everywhere.
I know, you get self-tanner on stuff.
Saint-Tropez. This podcast is sponsored by Saint-Tropez.
You always know where Connor's been because there's a stain of Saint-Tropez on the way.
That's
out.
Funny. You should remember that. Put it in one of your sketches, one of your skits.
Wait, I was just thinking outside just now. There was a woman who had like a little bun. She was blonde, had a little bun on her head. She was wearing like yoga athleisure.
Obsessed with
so
her.
Many bags. I was thinking of you. I watched her because she walked up to a red Jeep, the most flippable cars there are.
They always turn
Jersey
over.
Jersey plates.
But not my high school crush's girlfriend. Her Jeep never turned over. She never died. Famously never died.
Oh my God.
She used to pick me up to go running. Did I ever tell you this?
That you would go hang out with her and the boyfriend just to be close?
No, he wasn't there. So that's what makes it even more fucked up, that I forged a friendship with her to get closer to him. Didn't even work. They broke up. And I was like, are you kidding me? I've been investing time into this.
And she said, get in the Jeep. And you said, I'm going to push it over.
And then
I'm going to go Jeep tipping.
Running together. We would jog. No. I'm the villain in this story.
Well, I think, yeah, maybe.
Like, it's a hard story to even tell because it's kind of ultimately predatory.
It's not predatory.
Yeah, not predatory.
You
like
were
in the way
a child.
In the way that gay guys are, like, not like that.
No. Gay guys are not predatory, first of all.
I know that, but I think that, like, as a gay guy, there is this, like, historic narrative where gay guys are predatory that I'm very aware of. And honestly, and actually, because, like, I was a child in 2011.
I think people say that about all gay people.
I know. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, it's fucked.
That's actually really annoying. So, like, I was just, like, trying to keep her company.
As if straight men aren't the biggest predators in the world.
Say that.
I'll say it. Wait. Okay, so this girl in the Jeep.
We never talked. Never mind.
Jersey plates. 3 tickets on the windshield. I was like, girl, where have you been? Where are you going?
Wait. Did she look mad?
A thick orange envelope ticket on the windshield.
Did she look upset?
She looked confused.
What I don't get.
So many bags. I was like, is this your first time back to the car?
Totes.
Maybe groceries. I don't even know.
What I don't understand, like, if you get one ticket, isn't it kind of like a placeholder and they'll let it be?
No, they'll add more.
That's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, you get the first ticket for the first offense. If it's still there, you get another ticket. Sorry, I didn't mean to side with the cops.
Wait,
anyway,
this is fucked up and no one can be mad at me, and I'm going to register to vote in New York, so this is not a crime. But like, I have to go back to Pennsylvania to renew my license in Philadelphia because I cannot figure out the DMV in New York. I'm
don't
not going
do that. No, literally don't,
you don't
do that.
You don't do that.
Don't.
You don't do that.
Connor,
please.
You need to get a license in New York State.
You're mad. You don't want to be right with me anymore.
That
you hate me.
I never said that. I'm just trying to encourage you to get the license in the state you live in.
You're like, you're looking at an air conditioner that's lying on the side of the wall. You're looking.
Let me just say this. It's not even an air conditioner. That's a fan.
And I regret it. It's not worth the money. I should have just gotten a real window unit in the first place. Wait, here's the thing. My thing with what you're saying is that I will not do... Please. Okay,
you're
right.
I got my name legally changed. I got a new social security guard. I got a new license.
Boys,
you
be careful
can
who
go
you're
to the
talking.
DMV,
you got to know your
okay?
audience. This
I'm not taking
not
it.
Knowing
you
your audience.
You can go to the DMV. It's really not that bad.
I
talk
do
to Maddie.
Feel...
She got a new license just for like regular mode.
It was so awkward that I'm complaining about my... my greatest thing, and I brought up your greatest trauma. Your greatest, I didn't mean to. You never know who's in the room.
Except for when you do. Okay, did you see any boys clubs this week?
Oh, fuck. I literally... Okay.
I can go first if you don't have yours off the top.
Okay, you can go.
Oh, do you have one?
Mine is ADHD. I got diagnosed with ADHD. Did I talk about this on the podcast?
We sort of talked about it yesterday, but bring it up again.
Makes sense. I wouldn't know of ADHD. I have ADHD and it like is following me everywhere I go. And I think that people that get diagnosed late in life, like that's a boys club.
Yeah, like, for sure.
I know. And it's like, oh my God, I've made it this far with ADHD, like surviving what I've survived and like finishing school and kind of paying taxes and bills and getting my license changed multiple times, all in the wrong state, but still. And I don't know. I was like, wow, like everything that was ever gone wrong. It's like, but hey, you were like doing that with a foggy brain and an inability to sit still or pay attention.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's impressive. I think there's probably a lot of people. I feel like most people, not most people. I think a lot of older generations too never got diagnosed with anything that they had going on.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like people feel both ways about it. Like we were just talking off pod with our guest before we bring them in.
Who also has ADHD.
We were just talking about the difference between being diagnosed young and being diagnosed late. That's kind of like, I don't know.
I know. It's crazy that all you need to get diagnosed with ADHD is a gay guy who lives in Midtown to hop on a Zoom call with you and be like, so you know you have ADHD, right?
I love that he called you out.
I know. I really, yeah. He's funny. He's funny. He keeps giving me books to read. And it's like, do you remember the ADHD part? I have ADHD. I'm not reading that.
Yeah. Is he giving you books like Attached and Broken Promises?
It's always
and
like Wherever You Go, There You Are. Kind of.
Wherever You Go, There You Are.
Every time. It's going to be something like that.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, I just bought Dubliners off a guy in the park who was selling all his stuff.
You
I
are always
okay.
buying things off the street.
Where is it? But I bought it for you.
He buys shoes off the street. He buys everything at a stoop sale.
Where are those Vivas? Are those Vejas?
Vejas.
Vejas.
Where are those Viva La Juicies?
A girl on the street was wearing that. A woman on the street was wearing that the other day. Because it reminded me of this. My dad said that I shouldn't keep saying names on the podcast.
Okay.
Was her name. And her dad went to jail for pushing pills.
Whoa.
Yes. Maybe he didn't go to jail. Privilege. Well, her dad got in trouble and there was an article about him pushing pills.
Damn.
In addition, she was, the first time I ever had a drink of alcohol was in her
basement.
Yes. Oh, you know about her?
And you...
A person can only hold so many stories.
Did she... Or did her house burn down and they built it back better?
They literally... Oh my God, you're right. Yeah. I should bring that back. That was funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Her house did burn down. They did build it back bigger. Her parents got
so
in trouble.
So no problem.
Yes. And for serving minors. They were serving minors.
Oh, yeah.
She was in... She did not get cut from Les Mis, and it was kind of largely believed by me to be because of money.
Mm.
And I forget what the reference
were her parents donating to the production?
Yeah, well, we had to sell ads. Did you have to do this? To be in the play, you have to go convince the tailor to buy an
famously
ad.
Famously, I was never in the plays, so I didn't have to sell ads.
Could you imagine if, like, did you ever, like, why are you making kids sell ads?
Yeah, doesn't that feel like the school should do some of that work to get butts in seats? Also, like, who's coming other than the parents?
No, here's what I feel. Reviewers, critics, everyone's a critic. What I feel is this. I feel that if a real musical, a real high school musical, should be a black box.
Yeah.
If you can't do it in a black box, don't do it.
Yeah. I mean, imagine. I mean, I feel like also you could give the kids that want to build sets something to do.
Also, to be frank and honest, you're totally right. There's always going to be a techie person. Every, like, honestly, like, in a black box, your it allows your talent to shine through, and
yeah,
the your authenticity and the depths of who you are and your performance. Whereas it's like, oh, your parents built you a rotating stage for Les Mis, and you kind of are like, you, I don't know that you kind of can, these pants fit you. Like, you can't really, like, you look like less than.
Okay. Well, I'm happy that you guys had a rotating stage nonetheless.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember dying on it. You're just like, why there? It's also like, why isn't all girls school doing Les Mis? I'm sorry. I've, like, made this so boring. What was the boys club? ADHD?
ADHD.
Makes sense. Galaxy brain. What's your boys club?
Okay, my boys club for this week is maybe something we've talked about before, but I'm going to talk about it again. Baseball is my boys club for this week.
Oh, fantastic.
I've been watching so much baseball recently because my roommate Sam and I have gotten really into the Yankees this year. They're incredibly good for any boys at home who want to watch. And I just feel like, I know we talked about this last week because you didn't like going, or a couple weeks ago, because you didn't like going to that baseball game. But I found it, I'm finding it really, like, I don't know, there's something sort of like calming about it to me. To, like, have a baseball game on in the background of what I'm doing.
No, I agree. And I actually take back what I said.
You don't have to.
No, I like when baseball's on because it reminds me of my grandfather who died.
But it does have this, like, yeah, it feels kind of old school, but it also just, like, I don't know, like, the announcers are just very, like, deadpan and old school sounding. And, like, I was, like, just watching.
Harry Callis. You know that man?
Maybe.
He was the announcer for the Phillies.
The announcers for the Phillies.
And then he died.
Oh, yeah. But they, I don't know. The games are just, like, really chill. And I don't know. It's just, like, there's, like, kind of.
Wait. Bro, Sef, Melosef. I remembered something.
Yes.
King McGang. I just remembered what King I didn't McGang. Like about the baseball game. Actually, no joke. What I. Okay. There's a lot of noise there now. This sounds so old and crotchety. This is like literally giving 29. But like I was at the baseball game. It used to be calm. Even when you were there, sometimes they'd be like, burm, burm, burm. You would sing one time. And now they literally. Now the whole time they're playing Rihanna at the top of the, as loud as humanly possible.
Yeah. Well, they do all have like a walk-up song.
It's not even that. It feels so disconnected from what's going on the field with my boys. It's just like they're
making it like an event.
Yes.
But they have to because they got to make it fun for the fans.
But it's fun when we sit there. It's fun when we're just like calm and,
yeah.
And you're talking to your dad and you're eating Cracker Jacks.
Well, I think you would like watching them at home.
I bet I would. And my grandfather, he watched them all mostly at home. Why? Poverty.
Yeah. Well, anyway, mine for this week is baseball.
And then there's always going to be a gym teacher trying to lead someone in the wave. And I don't know if you've ever done the wave.
You're not a waver.
Wait, how? Because I'm like a cat. I don't really do the wave.
I feel like you'd be anxious that you'd do it wrong.
I don't want to do the wave. I just want to sit.
All it is standing up.
We paid for these seats, bro. We just sit.
You're giving old man today.
And our guest is not going to make the juxtaposition of our ages any like better.
Well, okay. Me and our guest are basically the same age, so.
You used to say that we were the same age.
We are basically the same age, too. Age is but a number.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, should we bring our guest in?
Yeah.
Boys,
do you think in heaven we're all the same age?
Hold on, I have to do the intro. Boys, our guest this week, you may know them from their very popular podcast, HBO Girls Rewatch, with our former guest of the pod, Amelia Rithaler. We're so lucky to have them. They're so funny, and we love
and
hanging
next
out
to
with
me.
Them, and they're right next to us on the couch. Please welcome Evan Lazarus.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
Welcome, thank you for being here.
Oh my god, there's so many things going on in that front section. Why do you guys talk about baseball so much? It's like... a gay guy who works at SoulCycle with late and light diagnosis of ADHD and a trans man who does a tour of colleges. You guys both love baseball so much.
It just happens to come up,
about
I guess.
Mrs. Met. It's like, anybody
yes.
here, any
wait, you listen to this podcast?
Of course.
How come everyone
I'm obsessed
it?
With Mrs. Met. I've just, ever since I saw her for the first time, I haven't gotten her out of my mind because it just made me laugh so hard that they made a woman version of the same baseball mascot because they made her so curvy. It's just like taking like the epitome of like gender stereotypes and putting them into these little costumes, and it just made me laugh.
Yeah, but I would argue that most mascots are MB.
No, totally. That's why it's funny that they did this because they're literally baseballs with bodies. Like they're not gendered beings, but they made it that way, and I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, but then they're so fun to play with. So
exactly.
Yeah. What was your?
They did a pride thing, and I was like, okay, Mr. and Mrs. Met are T for T.
My high school mascot was an explorer. I don't know if I've said this before. An explorer, which was just like a man, like dressed like a Christopher colonizer. Columbus. I know. I think that's bad.
For sure.
I think they're they should never
good,
though.
They're not meant to be good.
Yeah.
It should be like a dove. It's Christian.
Mine was the Bandersnatch, which is the famous dragon from Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, right.
Because I went to an intellectual high school that was so public.
Like Montessori for older.
Montessori for high, which I think Montessori can be high school as well, Connor.
You're for real?
I hope.
It's you never
like,
hear about
it's
that.
All like independent study, I think.
I would have really struggled with that. I don't think it would have been better if I was on my own. I don't think that was the problem.
Huh. What do you think you would have studied?
Alone?
Yeah.
Veronica, feminism and Veronica Mars. Watch Veronica Mars?
No, is that the girl who helps Buffy with her vampires?
No, but I did watch that as well. Actually, my parents watched that. I think if your parents watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, then you grew up in a house that was going to be okay with you being gay.
Yeah, wasn't there gay people in Buffy?
Yeah, Willow. She's
a
lesbian.
Oh, yeah, it was a queer. Anything on a CW is like a little bit more queer forward than the rest.
Yeah,
totally. Because you look at Pretty Little Liars, they had the first lesbian pairing of all time.
Yes. Wait, yeah. Speaking of, have you either of you watched the new like adaptation of it?
I watched a trailer. Does it count?
It's, yeah. So the first season came out maybe last summer?
It's like the summer school.
And this summer they're having like the second season that's summer school. But the first season is so crazy. Like all of the girls have like insane trauma. And like, and also there's a killer on the loose. And then the main girl's like pregnant. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, all high school TV shows, like a girl needs to be pregnant or needs to be a killer on the loose. Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, they don't get a second season. It's so unfortunate. Look at Generations Plus. You guys ever talk about that?
What's that?
It's the first episode a girl gave birth, but then because there's no longer a pregnant girl, a girl who just has a baby, it only got one season.
Whoa, yeah. You gotta keep the pregnancy until the end, and then the second season she can have the baby.
Absolutely.
Wait, is that on Freeform?
It was actually on HBO, but it got removed.
Oh, I hate, they did that to so many shows.
Yeah, because the premise was like, here's a queer friend group and they're not all white. And it's like, okay, awesome. That's what every comedian wants to write as their pilot right now. And then someone did it on HBO and it got removed after one season.
Dang.
Wait, when we were talking about Pretty Little Liars, this might be bad, whatever. I was just like, I only remember the part where she slits her wrists and dies in the tub.
Who?
On the first episode.
Oh, yeah.
And then I looked at my wrist and there was a weird cut.
The mom dies in the tub.
Oh, no.
Like in my dream. Doesn't that look weird?
Wait, I'm rewatching Pretty Little Liars, but only the first and last episode every season, and I don't remember that.
No, not the original, the new one.
Oh, I didn't watch the new one.
In the new one, the opening scene or so, we find out that this main girl is pregnant, and then her mom killed herself in a bathtub, and there's a killer on the loose, and it's like, and it gets so much worse.
With TikTok somehow.
Wait, so we were talking about ADHD up top, we were talking about baseball up top.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I actually think it's very... You were saying it's a boys' club to have a late-in-life diagnosis of ADHD, but actually it's very feminine because women get diagnosed with ADHD a lot later in life get diagnoses, where men actually get overdiagnosed.
Interesting.
I actually think people are overdiagnosed with ADHD, depression, and anxiety.
Probably. Well, I recently got on Lexapro, which I do think was the right move for me. I'm feeling much better, but it was really crazy to go to this appointment. And the doctor just like literally pulled up like a "Are you depressed?" quiz online, and we like went through it together. And I was like, "This can't be."
And always the first question is like, "Are you feeling sad?"
Yeah, and it's like, "Are you feeling symptoms of depression?" Yeah. It's like, "I don't know." Like, should we talk more depressed? About this? Yeah, literally
crazy.
Yeah, so I feel like the diagnosis. I don't know because I was like, obviously, like Big Pharma is pushing them to sell all kinds of stuff. So they're like,
medication can actually give you the symptoms of the thing it's trying to cure where you don't actually have
that's crazy
disorder, like depression or anxiety. And also because now that we have the words of depression and anxiety, people can't take their normal emotions of like sadness or like when they are feeling like melancholy or just like anxious in everyday setting. And they're now with those words like equipping that emotion with that actual like disease or mental illness.
Right.
Where it's actually like, no, actually, you don't actually have the clinical diagnosis. You're just experiencing this as an emotion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's, of course, people with depression and anxiety, I'm not denying it for a single second. But because we have so much language around it now, and like people are just like, it's kind of cool to be mentally ill that like people are actually really going for it.
Yeah. And with like, we talk about this sometimes, just like how hyper labeling everything, like from, mental illness and sexuality, everything. Like it feels like there's just like so many new words and terms, and so people are just like really like trigger happy to like get on that.
No, I'm addicted to this kind of stuff, but I'm like I also have a really interesting question. How do you guys feel like narcissism like interprets into your everyday life as comedians? Sorry. I just was listening to a podcast about narcissism all day, so I'm just curious. I'm reflecting for myself. But I'm curious to see, how other comedians interpret that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I definitely, you can't pursue this, I don't think, without a healthy ego to some degree. And I think that we probably do know some narcissists. But right. I feel like, I don't know. Somebody accused me of being a narcissist one time, an ex-lover. And my therapist said that it wasn't true. So I feel safe that I'm not a narcissist. How do you feel about narcissism?
I think that, so whenever people are like, what Sex in the City, what girls are you? I think we all are a little Carrie and a little Hannah.
Yeah.
And I think that comes back to being we are all think we're interesting enough to talk on stage and write things about ourselves and blah, blah, blah. There's an element of main character syndrome going on, I think, with everyone that we know, at least the people who are doing it. So
yeah.
I think, you need an element of healthy narcissism. I don't see what the downside is.
But is that narcissism?
I think it's just healthy ego.
Narcissism, again, is a clinical
diagnosis. I like the word ego.
Yeah. Well, yeah, narcissist, I think, again, we were just saying, people throw these words around really casually.
But my uncle is
actual narcissist, it's a clinical diagnosis.
We don't have to say names, but do you guys think that there's any comedians that are narcissists?
100%. 100%.
Wait, mouth it.
I'm not, off the top of my head, I'm trying to think of anybody I know. But
that's the thing I always jump to in my head, where it's yes, there's plenty of comedians that are narcissists, but actually I don't know if that's necessarily true, because a big part, narcissists present as very, polite people, actually, so you can't actually, accuse them of being, wrong in any way. They speak in very, general terms, but comedy's all about, you're the punching bag, it is a very self-fulfilling thing, but also at the same time, you have to be the butt of so many jokes. Where it's that's actually not a very narcissistic quality.
Yeah. I will say, though, we spend so much time with, at least I'll speak for myself, but I imagine you guys as well. We spend so much time with, queer comedians who, I feel like it's a little bit different. Because, you're right that we are being, my voice and my story is something interesting, but it is, coming from an alternative perspective. So it doesn't really, it is ego-driven, but there also is, a different quality to it. Whereas I think if we were spending more time in, these Manhattan-y,
you're so
straight
right.
dude rooms, that's when, because every time I'm around those kind of guys, I'm like, God, you guys are up your own ass so far.
We're never faced with those kind of, I'm personally not, because I yeah. never leave the borough.
They are a different breed, because they all really seem to think very highly of themselves.
Sorry to go off tangent.
No, not at all.
Curious.
That's interesting.
Hunter's deep in thought. As a fitness instructor, you're faced with narcissists all day, every day.
Probably.
I've seen the girls that attend your classes. Those are full-blown narcissists.
When they met me, they were not hot.
Don't say that.
They were. Just kidding. They were hot. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Did you like my class? Thanks for coming.
Yeah, you do illegal ab rotations.
Why do people say that?
Three people
say, can I actually speak the truth? Wait, I'm sorry for talking about work. I have heard weird... I think that when I'm so good at my job, people are weird about that. Can I say that?
Literally.
I hear people coming for me, people whose names I don't know, because why would I?
In the comments?
No, who have the same job that are oh, I do a legal app. No, I don't. I know the work. I like the back of my hand. I work really hard at it, and I'm really good at it.
Yeah.
And then people like me because I'm really good at connecting with people and making people feel special. And then when other people can't manage all the things that I'm managing, they act like I'm they feel threatened by that. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know your name. I'm sorry. Who are you?
I'm too busy coaching these women, these CFO girl bosses to greatness.
I'm sorry that I'm keeping Google afloat by coaching their CFO. I love them.
See, because the only way to be successful as a queer person is you have to face 50% hate. All your engagement literally on Instagram or TikTok, 50% has to be from hate watching. Absolutely hates you, object terror.
Yeah.
And then half of it is people that don't understand what's going on, and 1% is I love you, girl, keep getting out.
Yeah, literally there's 1% is fans. 45% is other queer people fighting about identity politics in the comments, and 50% is horrific men saying the worst things I could say.
It's the only way we're famous as a queer person.
Jesus. Oh, it's such a nightmare.
And then 4% are other comedians trying to be the first comments. Yeah. If it takes off, then they also take off in a sense too.
I've never followed someone from a comment.
I don't think anyone ever has. I think it's just good to kind of be in the mix, you know?
That's what we tell ourselves.
I miss the days when you would just comment on your own friends' Instagram accounts, And then you could get like 9 likes on a comment and be like, whoa, I crushed. That it was hilarious so to like my up. Inner circle. You know what I mean?
Yes. Whereas now, like if you post a clip and it's like, what's my take on this? And I'm going to get it into the comments. And then if people like that one thing I commented, buying you drinks equals queer, equals supporting queer businesses or something. And then like that got like a lot of likes. And it's like, okay, so like my take on your joke kind of like rises.
But by the way, it's all about timing. It's all about timing with comments. Because if you're there trust for 2 minutes, yeah, you could say that's funniest, smartest thing ever in a comment section, but there's already like thousands of comments in there. You'll never break through the glass ceiling.
One time on a Sabrina Breyer video about Taylor Swift, I wrote skipping folklore, blah, blah, blah. And then all these Swifties loved it because it was some like pro folklore comment. And then I had a Soul Cycle instructor literally say to me, I saw your comment on this girl's video with thousands of likes. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't know that. That's so funny.
That is the best feeling on earth. We all do comedy, so one Soul Cycle instructor can tell us that we're doing a good job. Yeah. At the end of the day.
Seriously.
Well, wait. No, you go.
No, you go. You go.
No, you go.
Oh, I was just going to say, I like what you said earlier about bringing back to the ADHD diagnosis thing, because I that's such a good point that like women are underdiagnosed, generally speaking, and men are overdiagnosed. So you're right. It actually is more of a girls' club.
It's way more of a girls' club. Because girls are much more organized, just like from a traditional standpoint. Girls... I think it's like it's never thought as like if girls are girls are just more organized in general, or like they have a lot and they have to be like more high achieving.
Mm-hmm.
So just like they don't are not seen as the symptoms of ADHD. They're so closely associated with them. It's sad. It really is heartbreaking. Yeah.
And I think that like the general common like identifiers of like a young person with ADHD are typically like skew a little bit more like traditionally boy behavior, like, you know, running around and like whatever, you know, like I have one kid I coach who just like will kick the ball against the wall no matter how many times I tell him to stop. And I'm like, I just think he like just can't.
No, ADHD is you know? Very masculine.
Yeah. So I think it's like, yeah, totally, totally.
That's... Well, it was seen as something for hunters back. Like the theory that people have ADHD now is because it was used for hunting purposes or like awareness. So like if when they were out for the hunt, ADHD people were like more observant, like either seeing the prey or seeing different threats because they're not paying attention on one objective. They're kind of like looking into greater scale. And that's why ADHD has made it through history. And that's why we're faced with it now.
Interesting.
So again, it's kind of a masculine thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to tell you something. Uh-huh. I feel that my brain has never been quiet or still. Like this hyperactivity that they describe with ADHD, I feel that inside. Like it's always like all the time. And one time I did mushrooms on Fire Island with this man I thought I loved. And immediately I felt this part of my brain, like a little bit of mushrooms, simply fly away like a bird. Like, and then it was just like the absence of, I don't want to say anxiety.
I think that's what it is though.
The absence of like anxiety, the absence of movement of the brain, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think probably anxiety.
Well, that's very interesting. I don't know. Cause for me, thank ADHD you. Definitely manifests in like, you can have different symptoms of it. Like a big symptom of ADHD is hyperfocus. Like you're able to focus on one task for a really long time and the rest of the world can dissolve. No, it does. There's many. The thing is there's no ADD anymore because they just put all the symptoms into ADHD. But like there's many different ways to have a disorder. Like I have dyslexia as well.
My brother has
it's
that.
It's true. Like people think there's only one kind of dyslexia where you confuse your B's and your D's, but I have the kind where I can't write a pilot. Like that's what I always say on stage. But it's true. It's like there's just so many different ways that these manifest. And like we were talking about terms earlier, like they're just very all encompassing. They're like Democrats. It's a big tent
right,
party.
Right. Every time I see you, I say, write your pilot, and then I walk away. Like, yeah, go West, young
that's
man.
The only thing you say to me.
Go West, young
write
man.
Your pilot. Write your pilot.
I'm like, you don't even know how I'm doing today.
You need to write. I actually sent you shout out.
You did.
And then I talked about it because I do believe that when I'm 35 in 8 years and I'm going to be down to my luck and then I'm going to get a call. It's like we sold to Max HBO. I don't know. Whatever the fuck. HBO owned by Google. And you're going to be like, we wrote a character for you. It's an old wily man. Get in, bitch. And I'll be like, thank God I
He's
sent
He's screaming
them.
At people at a literally. Baseball game.
Well, thank God I sent you these materials.
Yeah, because you know what I think is very interesting is that as someone who's a harbinger of a gay queer comedy.
Is that you?
Yeah, because I host a queer open mic. But then you see queer comedians that are at my open mic. They're not telling like punchline. They like a story that like they find the funny in it. It's very more like improvisational, like more of a Meg Salter vibe is the thing alt. They're going for. It's more alt, right? Like queer people have always fallen to alt, but now we're finding ourselves in a situation where like you're someone kind of like this where queer comedians aren't like always doing specifically alt comedy, which is like that's the new frontier.
That's good, right?
Yeah, it's everything's good.
Everything's
There's
good.
There's nothing
I'm
bad.
I'm going to listen back to that.
We're postmodern. Everything's new and on building
but
on
like
itself.
You like to write a joke.
I love
and
to
a
write
lot
a
of
joke.
Queer comedians are actually like kind of allergic to writing traditional jokes.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if you were so excited about the future of queer comedy or like what the hell these boys
I doing. I am. It's just like something completely different than we expected to be. Like I saw a show this weekend that was very entertaining and like maybe even labeled itself as a comedy show, but it wasn't funny for me. But the audience was extremely entertained. And then, like, at the end of the day, it's actually about what's the product you're delivering. Is the audience having a good time? That's kind of what matters.
Yeah.
That's like the beauty of live performance.
Totally.
It doesn't have to always be, like, the wittiest thing on earth.
It's ultimately a democracy.
It's ultimately a funny. A joke is a joke if it makes you laugh.
There's gay guys on the cruise when I said something about bottoming and how, like, you're going to, like, shit on a dick or something. They, like, howled at the moon. They just howled.
Well,
and I was
did
like,
they like it when you punch down at gay people?
Yes. They liked it when I said gay guys were mean, which is good because I have, like, kind of 19 punchlines that are ultimately just
that.
Yeah, because
the thing that older gay men like that are, like, very heteronormative and like hetero people is like when queer people punch down to other queer people.
Maybe if when I hit a cop, I said it was a gay cop, they would have liked that.
They might even like that.
Because remember, there's this new joke I'm trying where it's like people are trying to make gay guys do adopt kids instead of IVF because they're like so many kids need love. And it's like, I'm sorry, have you not met a gay guy? I don't know that we're the good ones to do that. I don't know what the punches of that are. But I think the idea is like,
yeah.
We're not good people.
It's like, you mean the guy that called you a bitch?
Send all the kids that need love to his house. Great idea. Great.
Yeah, when's he going to have time? He's getting his buccal fat removed.
Okay, that's hilarious. We should literally...
This is a writer's room.
Buccal fat was really funny. I do think about that every third day. My buccal fat removed. Do you guys think about that?
I'm trying to...
It's this, right? It's what Tom Brady had done?
Did he have it done? Probably. His face looks crazy.
Right? Doesn't he look funky now? Yeah.
I don't want to look gaunt.
But everybody at the roast was saying he looked fantastic.
And by the way, Nikki Glaser looked fantastic.
She
Whoever did her
amazing.
Work, I need to get their contact right
and she
away.
She crushed.
She crushed, of course. She defined comedy for women in like 3 minutes in. But like she looked even hotter.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if the jokes were amazing or not. I was too busy looking at her face. And amazing work. It's very subtle too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she looks good.
She looked really good.
I know.
It is weird. Like there's it used to be good to be kind of just like not a hot comedian. And now I do think that it's like actually good to be hot.
Well, actually, because Eddie Murphy is someone who used to go on stage and like dress in like very like he'd show his chest. He'd wear a suit. Like,
yeah. He
was
going sexy mode.
He was going sexy mode. Like I actually think that's something we've told ourselves so we don't have to try. But like people actually care about when comedians like try as well.
I also think that is coming out of a group of like slobby straight men who just want to be like, there's a reason why I have to be this way. It's like justifying their own looks, and
they're
it's like
old men in pools,
right? It's like the rest of us. I don't know. Like either, like we have other reasons that, like if you're like a straight cis man, perhaps if you're the handsomest guy, like nobody's gonna give a fuck about what you have to say. But if you're like a little bit short, or you're bald, or whatever, like you have some outsider perspective, and you don't have everything going for you. We already don't have a lot societally going for us, so like I think it's okay if we're
speak
hot
for yourself.
Yes, sorry to the gay man and the non-binary person who have lots of power.
Well, white gay men are considered a privileged class.
This is
America.
True. This is true.
All
what do you? Okay.
Sorry.
White gay men earn more money than white straight men now.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, of course.
Wow. I'm honestly not surprised.
I mean, there's still, of course, systemic things, but overall.
But I feel like there's like because obviously they still have the privilege of being men, and they're generally high achieving. I would say on the whole, probably right.
They
and
go to
no kids.
A lot more high achieving's a great one.
Yeah,
like queer people are like forced into
crying about no kids.
Or I guess gay people specifically are, like forced into higher ed.
Yeah,
because that's like a way of escape to like leave their like small town,
right.
Quote unquote. So, yeah, they're going to have college degrees and they're going to want to work really hard their jobs to prove something.
Right,
right. They're a perfect employee in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and if they, like, not to bring it up again, but if they don't want kids.
Yeah, literally.
And many don't have kids, then, like, yeah, you're not losing your income.
No gay guys want kids anymore. Everyone's like, oh, I'm open to children. And, like, I think you would know. If you
I think
kids,
a lot
think
of people
know.
Don't want kids anymore. It's like, with what money are people raising kids
right.
these days?
It is a great question.
Generation.
My
well.
Thing is, it's like, I don't know if I want a kid or not. But to be someone who so definitively doesn't want a kid, and like you say that before the age of 40, it's like there's actually something really scary about all those people.
Yeah.
All the 40-year-olds who are like, I don't want kids, they're always like kind of scary. Or they don't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're just
yeah.
like, you're at the same gay bar as me, which is beautiful and so great we can have community right now. But it's like you have a ring in a weird place.
People have been getting mad at me. Actually, I'm going to speak to this right now.
Okay, bro.
People have been getting like mad at me when I kind of like question why gay guys are like, I am very curious about that. Uh-huh. Why are gay men wearing their underwear everywhere? And I'm not trying to be a dick and I'm not trying to be like sex negative. I think that is an interesting thing to discuss. The gay community has a lot of trauma. No one ever talks about it. And it's like, I'm sorry, we were all dying 40 years ago. And I earnestly want to understand this, like this underwear party, this thing, this like this Peter Pan syndrome, whatever. And I don't even mean as a negative, so maybe not syndrome, Peter Pan blessing, where we don't grow up, whatever you want me to call it. Like, why is that? Like, is this a rejection of heterosexual norms? Is this an inability to is it a fear of the future? I don't know. And I'm like, very
underwear parties are a fear of the future. Not a word at all. I think that gay men know. Because it's man on man, we are like forced to fit into very specific body types to like extreme standpoints. Like, you have to work very hard on your body, or like societally, or like in a gay society, we're like forced to like focus so much on our exterior appearance. So it's like, if you're in a setting where you can show off your exterior in the fullest way around other men, because it becomes even more detailed oriented, because like now gay men are like being put up together like one-to-one. Like, you're like, can't just like be a face like dressing well in the room. Like, you have to be the hottest gay person in a room of only men, right? So it's like, you have every detail counts. Like, being in your underwear is like those extra details. Like, I'm sure one guy got his underwear and every other gay guy followed suit.
It's
been a group thing.
I do think it is like a competitive, like a sexual competition thing.
I know. Speech.
Sex is supposed to be, you know, it used to be collaborative, fun. It used to be everybody gets a trophy, at least in sex.
The side is screaming that out loud.
Sidism is the last everybody gets a trophy. And it's like competitive. I don't want sex to be competitive. I want it to be kind.
Yeah, well, I mean like sexual competition in like the evolutionary like.
But it's always been that way, because
that is kind of, sexual competition is actually one of the most fundamental things humans or any animal does.
You wouldn't want to say to you, my brother and my friend. Do you want me to say to you? I'd call you brother. But
you almost said brother, and
you
couldn't even say sibling. What so do you mean? Not a good friend.
My brother and my sibling. I'm gonna. Joan Rivers, before she died getting plastic surgery, she said, "Funniest forever," about being hot, which is kind of sad that she died getting plastic surgery. So ignore that part. She said, "Funniest forever," and that's fucking true. Funny is forever. This podcast is forever. Funny is forever.
Right, but don't you think we're using like funny as a substitute for being hot?
But I think hot is fleeting. So this guy on Hinge.
Hot is fleeting, but funny is like, in a way, we're also like trying to be like, we're really funny and smart and we have crazy great ideas. Like, we don't have to be traditionally the hottest person live because we like are thinking out loud.
Yeah.
But it's like, actually, that's kind of just like, you're demonstrating just a different thing. You're peacocking.
A different peacocking. Yeah, it's like another kind of sexual competition.
You must have abs of steel.
Who said that?
This guy on Hinge. And then I said, and it's one of my favorite names.
What contacts?
Responding to a picture of your abs.
Well. Wow.
It all comes out in the wash.
As a matter of fact, there are pictures of my abs. Okay. And then this guy said, but even more so, a mind of steel, a heart of steel, a spirit of steel. Those things are forever.
What about a cock of steel? You didn't even want to do that?
Because I don't want to raise expectations. Like, sometimes I don't want to have sex. Sometimes I want
to
look at the
TV
or the stars.
I'm sorry.
I grew up in a house where we were looking at the stars. What happened to that?
Bring it back to narcissists. That's actually how a lot of narcissists sex, though. Like, I fear the only way a gay guy could give a compliment is to be a narcissist.
Bro, this is what I'm saying. Like, if a gay guy comments on an Instagram video, it's going to be something, like, weird. It's never like, haha.
No.
It's always something like...
It's somehow always relating back to themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
LOL. What's wrong with that?
You have to get them the same space, though, because like, we're online being like, here's our ideas. Like, everyone gets a... We're in a marketplace of ideas, so everyone gets a space to say their ideas, even though it's like, sorry, I thought I was going to have my 10 seconds of fame.
Instagram Reels is the marketplace of ideas of today.
You keep telling yourself that.
Do you think it's going to go away? It's fine if it does.
No, Instagram won't go away.
Meta's here to stay, I think, unfortunately.
The big conversation is if TikTok goes away or not.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not there.
I know. So that's why you have to put all your stock into Instagram.
Well, it's not going well. Ever since you said my Instagram reel did bad, I felt sad. That's why we have to get off.
We put so much value on it.
I know.
It's like, you're actually really funny, and you have to believe that. And like, Instagram isn't the thing that defines funny.
Agree.
And if my video goes viral, what will be different for me tomorrow?
Actually, a lot of things. I've seen it happen to a lot of people.
But like what things?
Manager. You do a man.
Yeah.
Do you have age?
And it happens to be a man.
You have a manager who's a man?
Yeah.
Well,
the straightest
out.
Man you've ever met. The straightest guy. Like, wait. I'm a Celtics fan for him. For him, I am.
Yeah, he literally is a Celtics
There's
fan. That is the straightest thing about him.
About emailing your manager and getting an out-of-office response that says, go Celtics. Like, out in the
end. You have a Boston-based manager?
No, he's here.
He's here, but people he's Boston-born. Boston-born.
Yeah, people from Boston never give it up. I'm
But Philly's the same way.
What?
Philly's the same way.
People from Philly, never give it up.
They never leave.
They never leave.
When I meet someone from Philly that left, I'm like, oh my God, the agency that you have.
Well, I'm saying Philly's a new Bushwick.
Because Lucy Dacke has lived there for like a minute.
No, people, queer comedians who are, queer artists who are too poor to live in Bushwick are now moving to Philly.
Yeah. Wait, my mom is literally going to scream when she hears that. She's going to be so excited. Because they're over in
She's
Philly.
Trying to get into the
queer. The poorest of all artists are moving to Philly.
Philly thinks that they call themselves the sixth borough.
Yeah, they would love to be. And they
actually wish they were
closer every day. I do believe so. I think we're going to have a Philly renaissance.
Yeah.
Evan, the way that Philly calls themselves New York's rival is like Elon calling themselves Wake's rival. And I would be like, does Wake Forest know? Has anyone told them that we're rivals?
So the only difference there is those are two places nobody else gives a fuck about. Whereas New York people do
care
about.
Wake Forest.
Yeah, yeah.
People do love New York. Anyway, so what's a boys club you're not a part of?
Okay, I've never broken a bone.
Good one. We haven't had that before.
Yeah. So I'm like, here's a boys. People that get cast or something, they get to walk around. They're in great shape. Thank you for checking them
out.
Yeah,
lots of calcium.
Lots of calcium. I did sprain my knee.
We invite people on to comment on their body.
Jesus.
No, but
sorry.
Like also I didn't say I was an open to comments on my body.
Wait, you have it? Okay, you're right. I took whatever I was
Wait, finish the thought.
No, like I'm really intrigued by the vascularity of your legs. Is that a word?
Do you actually have really good veins? This is one thing I can give myself that. It's I've always had good veins. Mm. Yeah, but do you know what I mean about bones? It's like there really is a specific boys club about people that got to walk around middle school, elementary school. If you did in high school, it did become a little bit more embarrassing.
Yeah.
But like, to break a bone in elementary school is to have everything.
It's
That's
huge.
Like an ADHD
it's
boy.
It's huge. Yeah. Well, no, but you get attention for like at least the first couple days when you're everybody signing your cast, God. But then after a while for that too. Because if you got to be the kid who had like crutches and you got to use the elevator at school...
Oh,
Did
my
you guys
God.
Have that?
Oh, my God. You're so right.
And a friend.
And then a friend could
books.
Take your books. And it's like, oh, my God, I'm the friend who got to take the books. Like, there was so much.
That person's international famous.
Yes,
but one person
yes.
that didn't, like, it was Kevin in first grade who broke his arm. And then Miss Collins stood him before the class and said, he broke his arm. But he asked that no one asks him about it. And we were like, okay.
She made it worse. She made it worse.
And he transferred at the end of the year.
I'm not surprised.
His vibe was like, I support George Bush. And this was that year. Not to out myself as 29, but that was that year. That teacher voted for George Bush too, because I said, who'd you vote for? And she said, George Bush, the one that
you
won.
You were allowed
and
to ask like, teachers that? Only a Republican would answer that.
You right? can ask people anyway.
And actually, a Democrat would answer that even harder.
Have you ever broken a bone or had a cast?
So one time, I had two boots one time.
As,
talked about
as an adult.
And pizza.
We haven't talked about this pizza. On pod. Mine were never, I actually thought about this. So like,
this is my favorite story.
Well,
it's up there on the favorite stories.
I get hit in the balls. Someone just splooged their pants at home. If I get hit in the balls,
no one splooged
keep
their
your
pants
keep your splooge in your pants.
If I get in the balls, I was attacked. Because there's nothing, I forget, I think it was you. It was actually at Boys Club when you were telling your joke about getting hit in the crotch in soccer. And yeah. I was like, there's nothing that I do in my life that would just happen. Like, it would definitely be an attack on the street.
What if you slipped in your SoulCycle bike and you hit the seat?
I just think it's really unlikely to happen.
Connor, I think you're a liar with a latent stage diagnosis of ADHD. ADHD people are very prone to damaging themselves.
Wait, I feel like, but a lot of my ADHD happens inside. Is that possible?
Yeah, because you're not paying attention to the outside.
I feel like my ADHD.
He looks everything. Down, he got bruises all over his legs. He didn't even
I just
know.
Have a cut on my wrist that I referenced earlier, and I worry people are more worried about. Look at this cut. That's bad.
Yeah, you're injuring yourself.
I think you'll be all right, though. Yeah,
it'll be fine. Yeah. Anyway, so I did have two boots because I was addicted to exercise as a way of feeling safe in this world.
When? Oh, now.
Now you're right. But in addition to when I just realized that I've had an itch to exercise for years.
Do you guys talk about orthorexia on this podcast?
We don't talk about it. We don't name it. We don't.
But it
name.
Is a subtext to this podcast. It's yeah. Well, that's an. I mean, you weren't quite in the fun boys club because you were an adult.
When I had the two boots, I know. Boots. Yeah. Like I wasn't like a cool kid.
Could they sign your boots at least?
No, they were like black and style,
like the Velcro kind, not like a cast kind. Yeah.
Did they pump on it?
Yeah, but I didn't know how to use it.
Classic. How often did you put the wrong boot on each foot?
It was pretty.
Are they?
I don't know.
Are
that
they
were
ambidextrous?
They were interchangeable. Okay, they were that.
Yeah,
they're ambidextrous.
I don't even think that's the right word to
the
use.
Thing I want
to
be so bad.
I know. Wouldn't that be awesome?
It'd be so cool. That would be awesome. As a soccer player, I'm sure it's the best thing you could have.
Dude, every time. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you have to like get good enough with both feet to play at a certain level. But like, I definitely my left foot is way worse than my right. If mine were even, that would be awesome.
I actually have this thing where both my feet are bad. Because every time I play soccer, a coach would be like, "You're left footed. You're right footed. You're left footed." And like, no, I'm just bad at soccer. I was so bad at soccer that every year I was on a team I got most improved because I just started off at such a bad spot and I just built my way up.
That's most nice. Improved is always such a funny. I literally right now have to decide for each of my teams like most improved, most MVP and like leadership award for these like kids. And I'm like, I always do feel like giving most improved is a little bit like, well, you used to suck, but now you're better.
Wait, I feel like MVP is not a necessary award because it's like we saw them be the MVP. Don't you know?
And then you actually get a reward for it. It's kind of like best actress.
I won MVP a lot in high school, and I thought that was well-deserved, and I needed to be recognized.
What I meant was not what I said. I take it back. And as someone who never won MVP, I went to a Catholic school.
Yeah,
where
it sounded
like,
a lot like it, the way you were coming for the award.
Said like a true bottom.
You should start doing that in your core power classes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I used to get this award called the Coaches Award.
Wait, I actually love school one.
Which is a great award. It meant that they never played you, but you got to talk to the coach the whole time. And I felt so bad they gave you a trophy at the end of the year. Because anywhere I go, even a gym, people are like, no one ever talks to me at a gym. People are addicted to telling my form is bad at the gym every time I go.
You're getting people to come over and be like, yeah. I have to intervene.
Yeah, they're like, I have
this to. This person will hurt themselves.
They're going to damage their bodies. They're going to end up in two boots. And I talk to my friends about this never happens to them. I'm like, I get so much male attention. It's just constructive.
Wait, one time at the gym, when I lived on the Upper East Side, I was at Equinox 80. Doesn't matter. I was on the Equinox in the 80s, and this man was looking
in the 80s. I heard it was a fun time then.
In the 80s, and well, it wasn't, but in the any, this man came up to me and he was like, oh, you're trying to get bigger, right? You're trying to get bigger? Dude, you need this app called MyFitnessPal. And then, so I could eat more. And it's like, bro, I invented MyFitnessPal. But not for the reason.
Wait, are you trying to get bigger?
Is he trying to give, is he getting, like, a promo code to, like, get you signed up? Like, why did he care so much?
I think that there's, I tried to write a joke one time that was, like, when guys try to give me advice in the gym. When straight men try to give gay guys advice in the gym, it's like, I don't walk up to you in a date and try to explain polygamy to you or polyamory. which would make sense if my voice was different. If I was a gay guy that was fucking a lot and trying to be economically monogamo, like that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, economically monogamo. Gay guy disease of weird voice. I suffer from it as well, of course.
I think your voice is great.
Your voice, of course, but it's like
you called it weird.
But I get it all the time.
Voice is weird.
I can say it because I have a weird voice as well. People say it's no. I actually think it's a good thing.
It's weird in a good way.
Wait, I tried to tell Michael Aber, I'm keeping this, that it's okay to be annoying. And it's like I'm annoying too, and it's like we're not annoying. And it's like. And it's okay. That's not a crime. I feel like that's like we're all a little. You're really not that annoying.
You're really chill.
Thank you.
You should cut that out.
Cut that out and play it to myself over and over again. Wait, I was gonna say about at the gym. Yeah, do you think he was trying to give you
he hitting on you?
Was he trying to get in?
No, he was not.
He just wanted to be a friend.
He thought he was helping me. Sometimes men think they're helping you.
Yeah, that's so true.
Well, and it is nice to be saved, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it was just a boys club, but straight men only have one kind of conversation. It's all around sports and sports medicine.
Yeah.
It's the only things they know how to talk about.
Kings. Kings. Wait, I was at the gym.
Yeah.
And this one guy was talking to this other guy about how he's trying to live to 120.
Yeah.
With what family? And he was like, so he has this, like, he's on this app that's, like, all about, I don't even remember, but he's, like, he's obsessed with longevity. They are obsessed with sports medicine.
It's sports and sports medicine. It's the only two things they care about on Earth.
And sports betting.
And sports betting. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, that goes back to the sports, but yeah.
Of course.
They only have three values, and they're all based around, like, other
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
It's the Trinity.
It is sports, a trinity.
Sports medicine.
Sports betting.
Yeah, I, wait, what was I going to say? What did you just say?
I don't know. I think you're doing so great.
I didn't ask.
That was actually never
going to be the question. I know I'm doing great.
That's like when I was on that cruise and a guy came up to me and said, I could tell you're really building your confidence. And I was like,
such a backhanded
literally
compliment.
Get ready to fish me out of the water. Yeah. Jumping off.
Yeah. No, it was something about like dudes trying to help out. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. Wait, but back to our initial boys club. I had a cast in seventh grade, and that was like a highlight of my of my middle school.
Body.
Foot.
Oh, my.
I had a bone taken out of my foot.
What?
I have an accessory navicular bone, which is a bone on the inside of your, like in your instep here. And so my tendon was like really stretched and inflamed across it. And it really hurt me when I was playing soccer.
Wait,
so
like an extra
out.
Bone?
Mm-hmm.
How did it get there?
You know, I'm just built different.
That's for
no my one, body was born fucked up. No problem.
No one ever like checks you for all the bones.
Well, unless they have an issue, you don't really need to care. It doesn't matter.
I'm like, it's
Connor's like, I'm going to be checking all my bones. He's going to be at home going 1, 2, 3, counting off his bones. We go in, Connor's got a full skeleton and they're just checking, double checking.
I'll tell you the truth. When I was in Chicago this one time and there wasn't even a Buddhist. Actually, wait, oh no. There was a Buddhist.
Now, that's a weird voice.
I just remember something. Yeah. So one time I had a bone pop out in my foot. Like not out of the foot, like it popped out of place.
Okay.
What? So I had to go with my dad's insurance and get someone to pop it back in.
Sure.
But I wasn't a Buddhist. I don't know if this is why I was a Buddhist.
Unemployed.
So that's kind of the lore. He actually was only unemployed for like 3 years. And in that time, he did watch my
you
brother
built
and cousin.
You career off his unemployment. That's so cool.
Yeah. Thank you for calling this a career.
A high school teacher.
He is a high school teacher. But I had a boot and I left it on the bus in Chicago. Because I just took it off and I just left it up by accident. And part of
and
me
they
felt,
were riding around going, what stinks in here?
They do smell really bad.
Yeah.
They smell like shin guards.
They smell horrible.
Yeah, they don't smell good.
If you get a cast cut off, that thing stinks, reeks.
Right, nothing sexy about
sometimes there's
boot.
Like stuff in there too because it itches and so people like put a pencil in like and then they lose it and then like they cut it off and there's like all kinds of just like crap that gets in there. Especially if it's a
I
kid.
I don't want to be in that boys club. Every second.
Yeah, yeah.
They always like get weird tan lines.
Yeah, yeah.
I love a weird tan line. Though.
I had a bad tan line.
I always had farmer's tans growing up.
I'm getting one right now.
Ooh.
Yeah, because of work.
I don't understand why people think tan lines aren't hot. I think tan lines are hot, and it's cool to know, like,
I feel
what
like
you started
it
with.
Is, except for when your farmer's tan is really stark. Like, I always had horrible tan lines as a kid because I would have, like, the ankle sock or like the calf sock, but then I would also have a soccer sock one. So I was only tan like my knee and like up to my like mid thigh, and then I would have on the arm. So then if you're wearing anything that's not that, then it's just like very clear.
It's amazing that you have soccer and comedy.
I still don't understand. Wait, that's I'll so die fun. On this Thank hill. You. I'll die well, on this hill. I think actually of all the things that I've said today, most of them felt unfunny, unhelpful, and unkind. But
I would
this
say
next
that.
Thing is important. This next thing really matters.
This checks one, out.
Tan lines are okay.
Can we add uninformed to that? Can we
uninformed? Literally, uninformed. Like I do think tan lines, guys. What's the deal with tan lines?
What's the deal with tan lines?
I don't know why they're so a problem. Like, okay, so like, there's this like wedding in my family, and someone was like, "We all got to watch out for our tan lines." The women were like, "We have to watch out for our tan lines next year because of our dresses." And I'm like, "What if you showed people that you were human and like had you're all Irish?
Because women aren't allowed to be human."
Yeah.
Read a book.
Let me give everyone permission
watch
to
HBO
have
girls.
Tan lines. Like what I love about my little cute butt when I'm in the nudes is that like you see how my cute little white butt. Like yeah, what am I out there tanning?
Like
my
a copper tone baby.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. But I would say traditionally gay guys don't even care about that either. Gay guys are addicted to spray tan. I had about a 30-minute conversation with 4 different gay guys of different body types, all talking about spray tan.
Wait, did any of them have my body type?
No one has your body type.
Demi Lovato. Don't.
I was about to say that. I'm your body type.
Wait, she like that work was so good. Like that's kind of like when my joke about my brothers being gay. It was like so good that it's like end the career there. You know what I mean? Like, this is all the public ever wanted for me. And that album for her is like Confident, Cool for the Summer.
Yeah. Wow. I guess that is like where all her hits are.
You're the Demi Lovato of all Brooklyn queer comedy.
I'm the Nikki Haley
playing
of Brooklyn
with
comedy.
They, them.
Wait, so what's a boys club you are a part of?
Okay, I said this one just because Amelia was like, she wasn't, but I said
wait,
gay,
you
gay
talked,
group chat.
You talked about it
love,
with her.
Gay
oh,
group
I listened.
Chat.
She told me not to. And I was like, well,
everyone wants to talk. Everyone talks about being in a gay. I'm going to start
a gay
group chat.
Did you guys already talk about this on the pod, though? Have you done gay? I was thinking you guys haven't really
no,
talked
we haven't.
About gay
we
group
did
chat.
Gay group chat with Amelia, but she was not in it.
No, I know.
Why are you doing this?
I want to talk about
it. Well, we are going to talk about it. I'm okay, saying good, we only good, did. Good. Yeah.
Because I was like thinking, I was thinking about anyone you've ever had as a guest. I was like, they're not, you've never, yeah. I was like, who's a 20 something with a queer perspective, a really gay guy perspective? And I was like, I think I can help with this one.
I think we can.
Okay,
I think,
good,
yeah.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. The gay chat, group chat, it's a very sacred thing and a very interesting boys club to be in. Because for a lot of my young adult life, I was in queer group chats. Some were labeled 10 dick loving Democrats, which you would think could be all gay, but it's actually half girls.
Wait, 10 dick loving Democrats.
Yeah, in high school, I was in a cross country group chat, which is famously
you ran cross country. That's my type.
Yeah, well, everyone in cross country is gay.
I know.
Have you guys talked about that?
They're gay athletes.
It's no, only gay athlete.
It's that and like diving.
Yeah,
isn't that gay but those divers? Guys
are too will much say like... there's homophobia in diving because you get into the nude, so it's like all the gay guys who are like kind of like uncomfortable, even the straight guys, like they're gonna add homophobia to that.
Damn.
But when you're running, you're never in the nude. You're only in like small shorts.
True.
Which is like very socially acceptable, and like everyone's queer around you, but like it's queer, not gay. Diving's very gay.
Yeah.
Or running is actually a queer thing.
Yeah. I love her. Okay, wait. But gay group chat.
Let's talk about your gay group chat. So I've never been in a gay group chat, which is absolutely fine.
That
I've never been invited to one.
Literally not true. I guess a queer group chat. You haven't been in a gay.
This is a very gay. Like I'm the queerest person in the group chat.
So it's all gay men. Otherwise,
yeah, it's all gay men.
Wait,
it's 11 gay men or me.
Oh wait, 11.
Yeah, 11 or 12. They're literally it's going off right now. Oh my god, it's like
Connor can't even conceive.
Can you send a picture of me and be like, do you think he's hot?
Yeah, of course.
Be like hot or not.
Dude, wait till right now.
No, I can't. I can't have a reel that goes bad and also 11 gay guys not like me today. Like that's no.
Smile. Oh, good thing. You got
wow.
The nipple out. I feel like really hot in this photo.
No, if that's what people want, that's not good.
What do you mean?
It looks ugly. I'm sorry. I'm so sensitive today.
You are being sensitive today. What's going on? You feel you've, and it doesn't matter. Okay.
I feel
it does. It does. I didn't mean to say that. It does matter, but
inside, I feel like a hurricane.
I'm
and
sorry.
The outside, it feels like a hurricane.
Wait, what's funny is like
Evan and I are soaking wet.
Well, what's
my group chat is as well. Hello, they love that photo.
I do always worry that you'll be like, this friendship is too much.
No, I'm not gonna say that.
What's funny about being in therapy, that was like before you're
maybe
in therapy,
you should do a podcast with your therapist. Yeah. Even
Ben, yeah.
I would put that on the Patreon
3 times a week.
Ben will be like, pretend that Sister Therese is in this chair. What do you wish you had said to her? Just all chair
just
therapy.
Are you dead?
Girl, where are you? Blink twice if you're alive. I think of you every time I read. She taught me to read.
Oh my, I couldn't read until I was 13.
You needed, a geriatric nun, a centarian nun.
Wait, so gay group chat's very interesting.
Yeah.
So this is, it is half comedians, which is just like, no, Amelia, to bring that up. Gay guys, when they interact in a group chat, can get their creative freedom and creative expression fulfilled from being in said group chat. Because half of the dialogue is coming up with drag queen names, promoting women that sing music. And like posting t-shirts from a Target collection that you found really cool online, right?
Where are
like,
these artists?
It's like a, well, every gay guy is an artist in their own way.
Sure. That's title.
Self-proclaimed. every gay guy is a self-proclaimed artist.
Wait, so are these comedians?
Some are comedians, half. Right? But it's not, and it's like, actually the people who are more active and being quote unquote funny in the group chat aren't necessarily the comedians. Because I think like being gay guy actually makes you baseline funnier or like aware of what funny is, like at least through the lens of Twitter, right?
Yeah,
and like it is like a microbiome of a Twitter in the gay group chat where it's like it's just like a really long thread that goes on for the rest of your life till the day you die.
It's like unrelenting.
Yeah,
feed.
It is like micro blogging in there.
Yeah.
Someone once said to me, this person was like, I think it was a gay man, I don't know what gay man I would have talked to one-on-one, but some gay man one time he was like, I bet it's hard to do comedy for gay audiences because they all think that they can do better. And I was like, they do?
No, actually,
the gay guys
funny. Don't that live in Manhattan. Gay guys in Brooklyn are actually the ones that are sick, not sick, but think they are really funny, but they are the ones that are convinced they're funny. Like, they're like, I'm actually not going to care about the career path as much. I'm going to focus on like being like fulfilled and like whatever that means, like through sex, love, and like drugs, and like also being like ironic online. like not even on a macro scale, just like on their news Twitters.
Yeah.
So it's like those are ones that are like constantly striving to like, I'm not gonna be the hottest person alive, but I'm gonna be fulfilled and funny. Those are the ones that are gonna watch us. Actually, people in Brooklyn are the ones that are actually more conscious and aware of being funny and thinking that they could do what we do. Or actually Manhattan gay guys are so career oriented and like are funny with women, but like don't want to be perceived that way, because like actually doing comedy isn't sexy, and they really care about being sexy, really like when you can be funny for them, because it's like, oh, that's not the thing I necessarily want to achieve.
That's so true. That's so true. Because I feel like, yeah, it is like the Brooklyn-y gay guys.
Yeah,
who
you need
are...
to be scared of Substackers.
literally. Whereas like the, like, I don't know. I feel like the Manhattan gay guys are just like, yeah, they're like, they work at like JP Morgan, and then they're like, but this is hilarious.
Yeah, literally.
Here's a little clown for me. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
They don't have 4 hours to journal every day.
Yeah. They're not doing work in coffee shops. Yeah, let's do our last question.
What's a voice W would see in the world if you could?
Okay, this is a very interesting thing. And
I touch your phone case?
Go right ahead. It's an Octobuddy.
What does that
mean?
So
it sticks. It won't stick
oh,
to
it
that.
Sticks.
Also,
yeah,
like
yeah,
a
yeah.
mirror. It won't stick to your pasty walls. I'm sorry, being such a bitch. I'm not usually like this, but when I'm in podcast mode, sometimes I'm a little bit meaner.
I feel like in many ways we're allies. And do you want to know something? I think that there's a softness that we both have, not as much you, but that we both have, and that's good.
Okay, fuck me over
No,
here.
No, no. I just thought that if we were both soft, we wouldn't get anything
An
done.
Almost soccer player.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have the same softness to gay guys who almost ran cross country.
I see a softness in each of us that reminds me of Taylor Swift, honestly, and Sweet Nothing Midnight's album. And
Taylor Swift is not soft. You think?
Can you just listen to what I'm saying?
Sorry.
She's galloping in on a horse.
Half of podcasting is listening. I feel like it's crazy for me to tell anyone that, because I'm so bad at that.
We go back. Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's all.
It's drama.
I always feel like there's like a softness with you.
Yeah,
that,
we're
like,
very akin.
That like with gay guys, oftentimes it's, I feel like gay guys, but I feel like we both like have a softness and an identity where a lot of times people are kind of leaving with knives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a softness.
Everything I say comes from a place of love, of course.
No, totally.
Because I, of course, in some ways struggle with the same things you talk about.
The most hurtful thing you said was when you said my reel only had 70 likes. And here's the thing, that was actually
a fact.
I was going to say, when we were just talking about the facts.
People always say, like, memories are like weapons. And it's like, also facts.
It really is like the only things that can hurt me are like figures. It's so
yeah.
crazy.
Again, it's all numbers
yeah,
with
it's
you.
All numbers with me. We have like threads. We have we have Reddit threads, like hundreds of comments long of mean things that people say about Amelia and I and
what?
Our podcast. I'm like, okay, but
that's,
someone's
that's incredible.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
If you're not making enemies, you're not making enemies.
We're making hundreds of thousands of enemies.
Well, I'm sorry that people are saying me things on Reddit. Oh my God.
I actually am okay with that. I'm like, is this, again, talking about queer community, you have to be hated by 50%
for
in order
sure.
to make it.
Wait. Could you, okay, fuck this.
Oh, do you want to see what my gay group chat said about you?
Yes. Wait, no, but I need to say this before this. Bro, can I say something to you? Can I say something to you, my sibling? I need you to understand right now, right here.
Connor
right
busts out the word nibbling on the pod and I shoot him.
Wait, who is that?
They're all splooging in the
Why
pants.
Does Henry not know who I am? Who the fuck is that, though? Is he hot? Thank you, David. We have never met. And then Joseph had to bring the attention away from me. Okay, why are they all biblical names? Whatever. Anyway,
that's a great call out.
Not Henry, though.
This man never misses a chance to talk about Christ.
Well, wait. The hottest name is Luke, and the second hottest name is Ben. I'll say it right now. Okay, here's what I'm going to say to you, but not... Whatever. Never mind. Okay.
Continue.
So what I'm going to say to you, and I mean this, and I forget what it is. Oh, could you imagine... Like, you're being talked about on Reddit. People are talking about you on Reddit. Could you imagine being the nameless person who no one knows who this person is writing mean things about you?
Yes.
If you had to pick, but like, if you had to pick one of those two people to be, I think you'd be the one getting shit talked than the like random person who has so little going on in their life that they're going to talk about a gorgeous comedian who's doing the public service of hosting a Lena Dunham themed podcast.
Yeah.
Out of their Bushwick
for free.
For, well, you might
well be I
wish I was making a dollar. You're right. It's free.
I say that with love because also them? We're also for free. I'm just getting up to the point that we're doing, like you said, a public
service.
We're
going to release merch soon.
Fuck
so
yeah.
I'm going to buy, I'm going to fucking buy that merch. And I wanted to say, I'm a Marnie. I hope it says
ooh,
that.
No,
say,
it doesn't.
I'm a Marnie.
I don't
okay.
know.
Well, we can make that.
You think you're a Marnie?
Well, I'm hot. I don't know what to tell you.
She's hot. Girl, you haven't made 1 cent. No, I'm sorry.
No,
okay,
no. You can't
okay,
break
wait.
Me.
Okay,
I'm going to love you like I've never been broken.
I'll say a boys club I wish existed in the world.
Okay.
protein, but not at all costs. Do you know what I mean? And you're someone like this, and I understand because all I ate today is chicken, yogurt, and protein bar. But it's like, and I did the calculations before this. A Built Bar. I usually actually eat a lot more like vegetables.
Wait, I love
than that,
a Built
but,
Bar.
Like, I was in a real rush today.
So wait, yeah. A coconut?
Did I ever say coconut?
No, Built Bar. They have like a coconut.
Oh,
one.
Sorry.
Built's like kind of a deep cut.
Evan's got a full coconut that they eat every morning.
Well, Ev, not cracking it open. I used to work in the protein bar category. I used to work in influencer marketing for a very famous protein bar that you may have heard
of. Swap.com?
No, after Swap. So I did. I've always leveraged failure to get better, except for not in love, apparently. But I've always leveraged failure to like get one up.
Yeah, because so, that's not how love works.
What if it wasn't a game? What if it wasn't a game? That's what your merch is going to say. What if it wasn't a game?
It's amazing you have a girlfriend for so long.
Almost. Well, it'll be 3 years in December. The sweetest.
I feel bad that like we never talk about your anniversary. We only talk about my sober anniversary.
We don't need to talk about me and Maddie's. Well, I'll bring it up in December.
We do not need to talk about that anniversary.
Wait, you know, when you're like dating someone new and they're like, we should run a marathon together. And you're like, oh, you're making plans for us? I guess we'll be together forever. And when you said that about December, I was like, oh, I guess we'll be together forever.
Oh, I know. Well, that's what people, and anytime I'm like dating someone, they're like, okay, so we'll do this trip in 6 months. I'm like, oh, awesome. And then they destroy everything with me in about a week later. It's only happened about 4 to 8
Wait,
times.
Do you want to come? So my therapy's on Zoom. I sit in that chair. Do you want to sit on the ottoman and I can just like be quiet but listen to it?
Uh-huh. Because I don't have therapy right now because I'm switching insurances. Because
you might benefit 26. From this.
Yeah.
It's the worst part.
Yeah. Well, okay. So should I talk about protein at all costs?
Yes.
Because I actually wrote down, I actually did facts and figures for this.
Okay, I'm excited.
To go back to my brand I was talking about earlier. I just think it's very interesting because the way gay guys consume protein.
That's sad. Wait, the way that gay guys also consume protein, like I've heard about gay guys like doing chicken smoothies.
We both saw the Exploration Live.
Why would they do that for protein?
Yeah, it's because you add water and chicken, you can drink the protein because they're just trying to get protein at all costs. Like they don't care about the flavor, they don't care about the taste, they don't care about like, they just want the macro protein in there as fast as possible. And they're trying to get like 1 gram per pound of their body weight.
That's not that hard. Do you have a Quest Bar? I eat 9 a day. Do you want one?
No, because that will destroy you.
Well, my... Oh.
You're going to have to call Quest to do a blood test on how crazy the things going in your body are.
And you have no idea how much this costs. They will come for you. Okay, so then your boys' club is protein with no cost? Well,
like, not at all costs.
Not at all costs. Yes, yes, yes. Protein that tastes good.
Yeah, protein that tastes good, but it's also like you don't have to destroy the rest of your diet in order to get your like macro needs. I wish we could like eat food regular style and not have to like worry about like what it actually was doing to us, but like it is a thought that keeps me updated. So like if I eat like 3 servings of plantain chips, am I going to ruin my life for the next 2 weeks?
I'm worried that deep down you think I did bad today on the podcast, and later you're going to be
will
like,
I say the other time you were on my podcast, you kept pausing the podcast. You're like, am I doing a good job? It's like, don't ask, just keep going.
I threw out
you're
the hoodie.
Really good.
The hoodie I wore in your podcast, I had to throw away
because you felt like you
did it have
bad.
A Saint-Tropez stain
it
on
washed
it.
Me. It washed me out. I didn't look good, and I had to get rid of stuff. Sometimes when I feel anxious, I just have to start throwing things away from the department. So if you see anything you want, just take it.
Yeah, grab a book from the Connor Janda Book
I've been
of
looking
Wisdom.
At the bell hooks all day.
Yeah.
Never read it. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
Out of the wreck I rise.
Jinx.
Such an important book.
It's even again, Doyle. Glennon Doyle.
Glennon Doyle.
The center cannot hold. Go on.
No, the center cannot hold, and she's untamed.
She's untamed.
Yeah, but then I just think it's a very interesting, I think especially in like LA, it's a good example of this, but like you see it in New York too, where it's like these absurdly fit gay men where it's like they don't care. Those are the gay men that actually don't care about art for a single second.
Yeah.
They aren't like, they don't live in Brooklyn. They like, their art is their body. But when you focus as your art is your body, what does that do to the environment? And actually, I actually did some research on
it. Oh my gosh, this is the first time we're having facts on the podcast. Uh-huh. I'm so excited.
So I average that the average bodybuilder is eating 3,800 calories a day.
Okay.
For a male bodybuilder with a high protein diet. And that's including like staples like yogurt, eggs, salmon, chicken. Like they're getting those all in. So an average day for them to meet their goals of protein, it takes 390 gallons of water.
Oh my God.
Because 1 calorie of chicken is almost half a gallon.
Holy shit.
So then, if you take that for a whole
1 calorie of chicken is also like not even a lot of chicken. That's like a little teeny bite of chicken, maybe.
Literally.
Yeah.
It's a little tiny bit of
chicken.
Uh huh.
Oh, it's an incomprehensible.
Maybe it's 0.75 liters. It's just like, it's not good. So then I did it for the whole year. That's so 390 times 365. That actually can fill up a whole Olympic size pool.
Holy shit.
So like anytime you're in a pool of water, I don't know if you guys had a local pool that was Olympic size growing up, but you're like, this is a lot of water. Like we could save the earth with this water.
Yeah.
Actually, one bodybuilder is consuming it in a whole year.
Jesus. So you Christ. Think
that your argument, I love
like,
that I
twinks
said
twinks are better for an environment.
I was like, I have ADHD and you're like, here's a riddle.
Twinks like, okay. are better for the environment. I love that.
So yeah, so there, it's an environmental crisis. The crisis yeah. is bodybuilding.
Because of protein at all costs, we have environmental crisis where like actually everyone should be a twink for the future of our planet.
Yeah.
That's why I think Timothy Chalamet is one of the best things ever happened to us.
True. He's bringing back TwinCore.
Well, in a 2019 article, we're in the era of the twinks from the New York Times, which I do think is still prolific, but I do think we're going back into, I don't know if the twink is as prolific as it was 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah. Timothy like, Chalamet, Troye Sivan.
Right. Like those people have kind of lost a little bit of glamour. Like after Troye Sivan's music video, what was it called? I Feel the Rush.
Rush, yeah.
Where everyone, it's like he was actually the twinkiest person in a music video by a long shot. The yeah. only other people featuring that were like highly masculine, strong men.
Mm.
It's very interesting to see. And also that music video gave me orthorexia.
contagious.
Yes.
It's contagious.
Bring back more twinks. Boys at home.
What do you guys think about muscle?
Bring back more twinks. About muscle?
Are you guys at muscle at all costs? Oh, well,
I'm not a muscle at all costs, but I do want to build more muscle, but I can't get myself to like care enough to be like.
Well, testosterone is like truly. I'm always like trans men are beating twinks at their own game every day.
Testosterone is, it's a wonder drug. I'll say that. It's a wonder drug.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing.
It's gorgeous.
It just helps your energy and your appetite and your sex drive and your hair.
Awesome. This is my big thing. It's like, people ask me if I'm trans or not. It's like, I can't help. I'd rather be on estrogen or testosterone. I'll never know.
Do both. See what like, your body takes to it. You're just upping so it in hard. Both directions. That's hilarious. Oh my God. Evan, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
This is so fun.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you. Do you want to plug your... Oh, you, holding Connor. Hands.
Don't thank cry.
You
for coming on this podcast. This has been so fun. Thank I really you. Feel like I'm in a boys club now.
Yes, you were officially.
Really,
you
this actually your... was the boys club I was trying to get. Like, what boys are you not part of this podcast?
And so now you are. do you want to plug your socials or anything coming up? You said you had a show in Kingston.
So I have a show in Kingston, New York. If anyone lives in the Hudson Valley, it's with Hell me yeah. and my 6 comedian friends. People are asking me, why am I doing this show? It's the only way I can get my 6 comedian friends to leave New York City. So promise them opportunity to entertain. So I'm really excited.
Fuck yeah.
My handle's Elazzy. My podcast is HBO Girls Rewatch.
Are you on season 6 yet?
Yeah, we're on season 6 and Hell then we'll yeah. move on to something else.
Wait, can I be like, are you guys sad?
Well, yes, as but we also I've just my brain has been so girls pilled for the last year and a half that's like I actually for me to get a break from it for a single second will be ultimately nice.
Yeah.
But like I still of course love Girls, it's my favorite show. But it's like, you know, sometimes your favorite thing can when you eat too much of a good thing's a bad thing.
True.
At the end of the day.
Too much candy's too sweet.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. yeah.
Carly Rae Jepsen too much.
No, that's actually never a bad thing.
Do you know that song?
Oh no. Wait, what's this group chat you're in? Is it gay?
No. I don't have any. I'm gonna start a gay group chat it's later.
No,
but
Lita, and then emojis are like hand, foot, and mouth.
Wait. I'm gonna have to wait.
Is this your soul cycle? I mean your solid core group?
Maybe I'm going to, yeah, but yeah. maybe I might start, I'm going to, I think by the end of the summer, we're going to try to find a group of gay guys to be in a group chat with me.
Okay. Actually, I should have talked about this, but it is very interesting that every gay guy does want to be in a group chat or a gay group. It is like the most pivotal thing a gay guy wants on earth that they don't have it because like women fall away because they get married, they get into relationships much sooner.
Hmm.
So like single straight gay guys.
Straight.
Straight gay guys, like they might even just have gay friends, but they're not in a group. Not you, but like there are people in particular, like that at all costs, like protein will do anything to enter a gay group.
What I also worry about is group. Well, I think there's an Inger Goes West kind of remake you yeah. can make about a gay guy getting into a gay group of insta gays. Okay. Yeah. Let's connect offline. But I also feel I don't think I'm a group guy. That's
you're
the last
not.
Thing I'll say.
You're okay with being single, but I know a lot of gay people that, like, at all costs want to be in a gay group chat.
Wait, tell them to, like, get define God. Like,
well, you know,
or get a podcast.
It is like queer family. Like, it's the thing that you're told you want the most.
And yeah.
Like, the queer people, gay men, are like the ones that can relate to them the best. So, like, without having that, everyone wants community. And gay people, gay men, there's one thing they're good at. It actually is community, even if it's toxic and crazy. Yeah. They're really good.
They're
at community.
Doing it together.
They're some of the best.
I can't even respond to that because we'll never turn this podcast off.
I'm laughing so hard at the thought of stray gay men. You're just out there being like, here, come. You're collecting them in like a cat.
Well, there's gay girls. There's gay gays, and then there's girl gays.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different thing. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Let's end the podcast.
We have to have you back to get into that.
That's a really big one for me.
Yeah.
I've been for about 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, we'll do a full dissertation next time. Amazing. Well, Evan, thank you again for being on. Everybody,
so
check
fun.
Out their Instagram and their podcast. We'll get out here and smooch.
Let me all kiss.
Mwah! What's up, boys at home? Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, Boys Club. Connor, where can they find you on Instagram?
At Connor Janda, Conor. Janda is panda with a J.
And you can follow me at Nico Carney, NicoCarney. You can follow us both at Boys Club Comedy on Instagram. And we have a live show.
Our live show is at Club Coming, typically on the last Friday of the month. And it is always the two of us and some of our favorite funny people. And we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, often people from the podcast. So come check those out. If you live in New York, we'd love to see you there. Bye, boys.
Bye, boys.